From the 91.5 KRCC newsroom, I'm Andrea Chalfin. Two Colorado-based law firms filed class action suits last week over water contamination in southern El Paso County. It's the latest installment in a saga that's been going on since May. That was when the EPA revised their standards and announced a new health advisory for perfluorinated compounds, or PFCs. The chemicals were detected above the new health advisory levels in the drinking water in Security, Widefield, and Fountain. 91.5 KRCC's Jake Brunell has been following the story. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Andrea.
So what's the story about these lawsuits?
Suits were filed last week by Hannon Law out of Denver and by Colorado Springs-based McDivitt Law, working with another firm out of New York. And they're class action suits, meaning there are a few named plaintiffs, but if a judge approves, they could cover many more people living in the water district of Security, Widefield, and Fountain. The suits are very similar, and they lay out a number of allegations, including claims of loss of property value and personal injury as a result of PFC exposure.
And who are the defendants in the suits?
The suits name companies that sold firefighting foams containing PFCs to Peterson Air Force Base, and the cases name six companies in total, including the chemical giant 3M. The Air Force says it used foams from these companies for years in training exercises at Peterson Air Force Base, and many people believe they're the source of the water contamination. So the suits allege that these companies knew or should have known that PFCs from the foam could contaminate water supplies, and that they should have warned their customers, in this case, the Air Force.
And what exactly are the risks associated with the PFC exposure?
Scientists are still studying the human health effects, but possible links have been found between PFC exposure and low infant birth weight, high cholesterol, certain cancers, liver problems, as well as other health issues.
So these suits, then, they allege that these companies knew there were potential risks associated with the PFCs. So what evidence is there to back this up?
Well, so far, all we have are filed complaints, which don't really provide a whole lot of concrete evidence. But in both cases, lawyers point to a program allegedly started by 3M in the 1980s. And supposedly, this program looked at how staff handled PFCs, as well as whether the chemicals could build up in the body over time. And the implication seems to be that internally, 3M may have been worried about the health effects of these chemicals for decades, but that they continued to sell the products anyways. In a written statement to KRCC, an attorney for 3M disputed these claims, saying the company did in fact provide instructions for safe use of the foam, and the attorney added that 3M has prevailed in recent cases exploring similar issues.
You know, these communities aren't the first one to face issues of PFC contamination, and so they're not the first lawsuits to spring up about these chemicals. What can you tell us about some of these other cases?
Yeah, well, the really big PFC case actually dates back to the late 90s. It was brought by a West Virginia farmer who lived near a DuPont plant where a perfluorinated compound called PFOA was being used to make Teflon. You remember Teflon?
Yeah, the nonstick pan coating, of course.
Attorneys in that case discovered that DuPont had been studying the health effects of PFOA for decades, and that internally they were aware the chemical had made its way into the local water supply. In a 2004 class action settlement, DuPont agreed to pay more than $100 million to clean up the water and fund a health study for residents of the area. And in recent years, people there with diseases linked to PFC exposure have also begun filing individual suits against DuPont. Just this summer, a man with testicular cancer was awarded $5.1 million in his case against the company. But other similar cases, like one against 3M in Minnesota, have been less successful.
So leaving aside these lawsuits, technically speaking, though, these chemicals are still unregulated, right?
Yeah, that's right. And now, that's not to say the government hasn't done anything about PFCs. In fact, in 2005, following that class action lawsuit against DuPont, the EPA fined the company $16 million for failing to disclose what it knew about the chemicals. And at the time, that was actually a record fine. And the agency has also worked with manufacturers over the last 15 years to phase PFCs out of production altogether. But these chemicals are still unregulated, and the EPA has had to largely rely on voluntary cooperation from manufacturers and municipalities to deal with the issue.
Why is that? I mean, if the EPA has been aware of the potential risks of PFCs for all this time, why didn't they take any steps sooner to regulate these chemicals?
Well, that's a complicated question to answer, but in part, it has to do with a 40-year-old piece of legislation called the Toxic Substances Control Act, which governs the EPA's ability to regulate and require testing of chemicals. An EPA spokesperson explained to me that when that act was passed in 1976, PFCs were already on the market and were actually grandfathered in. So according to this spokesperson, the EPA's ability to require testing and restrict these PFCs has been, her words, very limited. Now, I should add that just this summer, the Toxic Substances Control Act was overhauled, giving the EPA more tools and authority to address some concerns about chemicals. So things are changing on that front, but it's still too early to tell what exactly will happen with PFCs and actual regulations.
91.5 KRCC's Jake Brunel. He'll be watching this story as it continues to evolve. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Andrea.